Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What are five practices you should have as a great manager? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about how to be a great boss. But first, congratulations on being a lifelong learner and being proactive with your career. You're turning on the LeadX Show as you tie your shoes, getting ready for your morning jog, or maybe turning it on in the morning when you turn on your car for your commute. However you're listening, you know that LeadX is helping you to stand out and get ahead. Tell your friends at work, LeadX is the smartest way to start your day. And today's one-minute career tip is stay interviews. Every 6 months, have a one-on-one meeting with each of your direct reports to discuss his or her career path. In fact, I like calling these things stay interviews, why do we only do exit interviews when the horse has already run out of the barn? You probably want to call them career path meetings, career path conversations. And these are unofficial over a cup of coffee or lunch. You just want to ask, where are you hoping to be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? Do you think you can still achieve that here? What do you need to know? Who do you need to know to make all of this happen? And you're not going to guarantee that they'll get there, but this will keep you in aligned with their own career aspirations, and you can be on the lookout for ways to help them along the way. And by the way, if you're not the boss, if you don't have direct reports, you can just manage up and do these career path meetings with your boss. Just run it in reverse. You can say, hey, boss, here's where I'd like to be in a few years. Do you think I can achieve that here? What do I need to know? What should I experience? How can you help me out? Every 6 months, do a stay interview. So before I introduce our guest, big thanks to all of you who have subscribed on iTunes in the last week and left a short review. It only takes a minute, but it's the single best favor you can do for me. Our guest today has more than 30 years of experience in the restaurant industry, helping leadership teams succeed at well-known brands such as Pizza Hut and Jamba Juice. He's the best-selling co-author of How to Be a Great Boss. Our guest is Rene Boer. Rene, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's my pleasure to be here today.
Rene, we're going to dive into how to be a great boss in just a minute, but I always ask our guests the same first question, which is, will you share a time when you actually failed, maybe early in your career, and what did you learn from it? Because we want to learn the same thing.
Okay, great. Well, because the theme today is about being a great boss, let me share a couple of boss failures that I had early on. So there really were two. And the first one was making really poor hiring decisions. I always thought, it's not that important to be selective because I'll always be able to salvage whatever mistake I make in the hiring process by being a really good trainer and then spending a lot of time managing people. And that didn't work so well. And then the second mistake I made was not spending time with my best people, because I felt like I really found that most of my time was being taken by the not so great people. And I learned when I started spending more time with my best folks, developing them, it was a better use of my time and our overall performance went up.
Yeah, that's great, Rene. And I've, had the same experiences. When I often say when I was in my 20s, I was young and dumb. And I thought that as a matter of fairness, I was supposed to sort of give equal time to all of my direct reports. And what happened, of course, is generally the poorer performers would demand or get more time and the best performers got less. And I finally realized the same, that you really need to flip that around. So, Rene, your book is How to Be a Great Boss. And there's a lot of great content in there. I want to zoom in since this is a short format show. One particular chapter you talk about, you actually talk about five leadership practices and five management practices. So I wanted to just hear from you, how do you view leaders versus managers?
Yeah, so there's always that raging debate, right, about what's more important, being a great leader or being a great manager. And when you think about it, to be a great boss, you really have to be good at both leadership and management. And so, let me just tell you just a quick definition of both leadership and management, what makes them different, but at the same time, what makes them equally important. So when you think about leadership, It's really about working on the business. It's important that leaders do that. It's about providing a really clear direction for your organization. It's about creating an opening. You know, the old saying is that nature abhors a vacuum. And then finally, leadership is about thinking. So, you know, in a nutshell, that's leadership. The equally important other half is management. So being a great leader doesn't make you a great manager and vice versa. So in management, that's about working in the business. It's about creating crystal clear expectations, being a really good communicator, and management is all about doing. So you can kind of see how being a great leader and being a great manager helps a boss create this environment of accountability.
Love it. And all equals all towards that that goal of accountability. And so I was saying, you know, with the time we have, I wanted to dive in more deeply on what you call the five management practices. Can you walk us through them?
Sure. So with management, it starts with always keeping expectations crystal clear. And when you think about it, all accountability starts by keeping expectations clear. And what I mean by that, it's really a two-way street. It's your expectations of your direct reports and their expectations of you. So when you think about your expectations of them in terms of behaviors and core values and the role that they play in the organization, the numbers that they're accountable for, you know, the metrics, and the key priorities that they set for themselves, it's always important to keep those expectations clear. And when you do that, you'll find that you rarely have to fire anybody. If they do leave, they're leaving because they just can't meet your expectations. So that's the first management practice. Does that make sense?
It does. And listeners, you know, one of the things that I thought was great about this very first first practice is, you know, you hopefully heard Renee talked about both like the values and the metrics. And again, when I was young and dumb, I was only measuring people on one thing, sort of the hard results. I was really good at giving them their metrics, whether it was sales or service, productivity, but I wasn't so good about sharing my expectations around values. You know, there's getting the work done and then how you get the work done. And I learned the hard way that if you don't clarify your expectations on values, people might get the job done, but in ways that can come back to hurt you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the first management practice. The second one is all about communicating effectively. And when you think about communication, that's also a two-way street. And what I've found is oftentimes we all, and this is a human condition, by the way, we all make assumptions. And so when you think about a lot of the conversations that you hear around the water cooler, most of them are around assumptions that people are making. And as a boss, it's really, really important to never go down that road of just making assumptions. So you got to be willing to do a heck of a lot more asking and better listening versus just telling people and talking. And so communication is kind of really watching that question to statement ratio. And you're going to learn a lot more when you ask questions and you let your direct reports talk versus just telling them all the time.
Yeah, and that's great. I like the way you phrased it. You know, keep an eye on your question to statement ratio. You know, are you listening more than you're pontificating?
No, exactly. You know, and then there's some really good things there. Just to, you know, a tip is I like echoing when communicating. And the way that works is when you explain something to someone, just ask them, could you repeat back what I just said? Or you say something like, you know, what I heard you say was, and when you do that, oftentimes you're going to find out that you really weren't clear on what the person was trying to say, or they weren't clear on what they were hearing. So that just helps improve communication, you know, be a better listener.
Great.
So the third one is all about having a great meeting pulse with each of your direct reports. And the whole idea here is to just keep the circles connected. So sometimes we have a relationship with direct reports where the circles aren't connected. We rarely talk. So we're just making assumptions that everything is going just swimmingly well. Well, that's a train wreck waiting to happen. And then other times, it's just a smothering relationship where we're just all over them. And that doesn't work either. So it's really understanding that one size doesn't fit all. You might have some people that are fairly new that need more of your time. And you have some people that are really veterans that might need a little less of your time. But you really have to figure that out. So it's having a really good meeting pulse. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Renee, on that note, I mean, do you have recommendations? I mean, I often talk about almost a cadence of meetings. And for my own practices, you know, I tend to stack my meetings on Monday as much as possible, but I do one-on-ones with all of my direct reports once a week. And I've heard others say, again, you don't really need to do it weekly with everybody or if they're more senior. And I like to do team huddles on a monthly basis. Do you think there's some best practices here?
Yeah, it depends on the situation. Within EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, the meeting cadence that we teach is for the boss and his direct reports, if it's a department or if it's the owner of a company with his leadership team, is to have a weekly meeting with the team for 90 minutes, just going through solving issues, getting things done, and increasing team health. And that 90-minute meeting agenda that we teach people sometimes is about all that folks really need. Mm-hmm. But the daily huddles work too. I mean, I spent 30 years in the restaurant industry. I can tell you that in a restaurant, you're not going to get everybody together for 90 minutes. So right. You got to figure out a way to have the right meeting pulse. And we did a lot of what you just said. We would get people together before a shift for 5 or 10 minutes and just let everybody know what's going on and giving them an opportunity to ask some questions. It's just kind of a pulse that the boss really has to figure out with his team or with her team.
Okay, thank you.
The fourth management practice is what we call the quarterly conversation. And when you think about this, this is a opportunity for the boss and the direct report to really improve their relationship. And so another opportunity to keep the circles connected, it's an opportunity to let them talk, because when you think about the quarterly conversation, it's the direct reports meeting with the boss, not the other way around. And it should be informal, offsite, away from the office, where there's not going to be any interruptions or distractions. No documentation is necessary. This usually freaks out the HR folks, because it's just a conversation, and it's around two questions. What's working and what's not working? And boy, when you get started with that, you know, think about what's working and what's not working and doing this with each direct report, because some people just need to get that kind of feedback and they need to have that kind of an opportunity to have that conversation with the boss. Because lots of times it's a little too late when someone leaves the organization. This is an opportunity to make sure that people stay in the organization and that we're having conversations around, you know, what does the future look like for you? What are your expectations? So this is just a really invaluable kind of practice. Just keeps everybody on the same page. We recommend that people do this 4 times a year. And really the 4th time is kind of the annual conversation, if you will. So it's a bit of an annual review. All around the same things. What's working, what's not working in terms of core values, roles, metrics, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and I could see how if you're doing that, I mean, almost, you know, every 90 days, it'd be hard to get out of step. And if anybody, well, back to your point, people would probably leave you before you would fire them because you're going to be having these conversations, you know, all the time. And unless they're just lying to you or not being open in these meetings, it wouldn't surprise you if there's a problem and they, you know, choose to go elsewhere.
Right. And there's something magical about 90 days, because what I've learned is that's about as far as we as human beings can go before our relationship gets a little frayed. Right. So it is invaluable to get people together, you know, one-on-one every 90 days, what's working, what's not working. You're going to avoid more misunderstandings, more train wrecks doing this than if you don't. there's a lot of excuses and reasons for why people don't do this. You know, the my favorite is when someone says, hey, I talk to my people all the time. Right? Oh, yeah, we talk all the time. But what are you talking about? And what they're talking about is usually a lot of the day-to-day stuff that has to happen. But this quarterly conversation is at a much higher level.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I hear similar things. You know, people will say, oh, you know, we talk all the time. I practice management by walking around. Look, I think leaders need to get out from her office or behind the desk or whatever it is. But usually MBWA is focused on whatever's going on in that day, and it's not a sit-down conversation that's structured in this way.
Right. So I could spend an hour talking about the quarterly conversation, but let's move on to the fifth management practice. And this is about being really good at rewarding and recognizing people. And lots of times when you think about rewarding and recognizing, people are thinking about pizza parties and stuff like that. And that's really not what we're talking about. Recognizing people for positive performance is as simple as just saying thank you. It's the little things that matter a lot. And Napoleon Bonaparte was so right when he said, you know, a soldier will fight long and hard for a strip of yellow ribbon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then recognizing bad behavior or poor performance when it happens and not waiting until, you know, an annual performance review to gunny sack someone with a whole bunch of things that they could have been doing differently. So when you see something that isn't quite right, just call it out.
Yeah, I like to say it's sort of like the TSA security signs. When you see something, say something. And when I was young and dumb, I was so non-confrontational. I just didn't have that professional courage to do my job. And it really turned around for me when I saw the research that, you know, certainly people like the thank yous and the positive affirmations, but they also want to be coached. They want to be told how they could be doing better. You really only disengage people when you ignore them. And that's what I was doing. So it is important to give that critique as well.
Exactly. In fact, you know, when you ask people, given three choices, positive feedback, negative feedback, and no feedback, they'd rather have positive feedback first, negative feedback secondly. And a lot of people think if there's no feedback, right, no feedback means good news. That's just not true.
Yeah, that's right. So, Renee, you've given us actually a lot of, in these five practices, very specific things we could be doing. But I always want to challenge our listeners, like, today, go try something today. So what do you want us to do today so that we can start on this journey of being a great boss?
So here's what I would do. I would get my calendar out with each direct report and say, you know what, we're going to try something different. We're going to get together every quarter for 30 to 45 minutes, and it's going to be your opportunity to have a conversation with me. And we're going to do these offsite. It's not a performance review. Get your calendar out. Let's set some dates. Boy, would that send a positive message that, first of all, you view them as being important, and you got to give them some time to really think about what you want to get accomplished in that conversation. And the first one is always clumsy, but boy, once you get the rhythm going, this can be a really, really cool thing to do.
Renee, I love that challenge and the way you offered it up. It's not do it or put it on your to-do list. You're like, pull up the calendar and schedule. If you want to get something done, put it on your schedule. So
exactly.
Renee, I want to thank you for coming on to the LeadX show today. And will you tell our listeners how they can now find out more about you and your work?
Sure. So the book, How to Be a Great Boss, came out in September. That's available on Amazon.com. But I also produce a short 4-minute video about principles that we teach in the book that are available by just going to my website. It's www.traction.com/process.com. If you go to the blog section, you can watch these videos, or people can just email me. It's Renee@TractionProcess.com. I'd love to hear from people who, you know, have comments or questions about the book.
Love it. All right, friends, you've just been mentored by Renee Bohr. Don't forget, you can get links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org. You can get Renee's book from Amazon.com and again, TractionProcess.com for these educational free videos. So that's it for today's episode of the Lead X Show. But don't forget, you can also download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, over at leadx.org/Branson. And until next time, remember, leadership is not a choice because leadership isn't about authority, it's about influence. And you certainly influence people with your words, but you're also influencing people when you choose to stay silent. Often silence is consent. You influence people with your actions and also when you choose to be a bystander. So we are all leaders, whether we want to be or not. Please lead with intent.